Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warned you.
Shippity Buddha. Shippity Buddha.
Don't rock that ghost.
Colon, don't rock the ghost. Don't tip the ghost over.
Sit down. You're rocking the ghost.
Oh, we can sing it because it's parody, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They won't strike us for it.
Mm-mm.
They might not physically be struck down.
Yeah.
We're still
strike
doing
me down.
Ghost boat movies.
Yeah, boy.
Literally.
Last week we did The Fog, an excellent top shelf movie. Actually, I think that movie came out the same year as this week's main attraction, or
it
close
did.
To it. Yeah.
The Fog is the gold standard, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This one we'll get into later, but it was also pretty interesting, pretty good.
Really great. I really enjoyed it.
Actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Death ship. My
ship of death.
Did you guys ever have to do that in school where the other kid made you say, hold your tongue and say, my father works on a pirate ship. He cleans up ashes.
Ours was Sunshine City.
Sunshine shit.
So you hold your tongue and say it.
Yeah.
It wasn't even.
Do you remember this, Andy?
Yeah. Oh my God. We made him say shit.
Yeah. And hold your tongue, Amy.
Uh-huh.
And say, my dad works on a pirate ship. And he cleans up ashes. So your dad works on a pile of shit, and he cleans up asses.
Is that what it sounded like?
Now hold your tongue, Amy, and say Sunshine City.
Sunshine City.
No, it's close.
Now, Amy, put your hands behind your head and go.
And put them on the glass.
Tune in Tokyo.
Yep.
And then I grab your boobs.
Did you know if your hands bigger than your face?
Twist.
Yeah.
So, we'll have a roulette movie because why not? Kelly is reviewing the.
I'll tell you why not. It wasn't good.
Power. Oh, that's too bad. I like the trailer.
Oh, it looks great. Movie looks great. We'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So, I like the trailer.
By the way, RogerEbert.com agreed with everything I felt about this movie.
Oh, wow.
I went to see.
I like the trailer.
Looks beautiful
because the movie's The Power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That song.
I think we're gonna get in trouble.
Oh my God, you guys.
Yeah, it's a parody, so if we sing it in a off manner.
That's true. If you perform it terribly, you're protected.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The algorithm can't find you.
Actually, I feel like that was so accurate what Kelly did that I was worried it would trigger Shazam.
You want to Shazam it and see? Like, we should start doing Shazam tests before we parody.
Yeah. There you go.
Don't trigger my Shazam. That's like the new Don't Break the Ice for kids that want to pirate music.
Yeah.
You remember Don't Break the Ice?
I don't.
It was a game.
You're talking about the Milton Bradley game?
Did Milton Bradley make that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Don't Break the Ice.
Yeah, all the plastic cubes are barely holding themselves together through surface tension.
I feel like every young friend I had, I was young too. I feel like when I just said that, it made it sound like I hung out with a bunch of kids, but as an adult. I feel like every friend I had as a kid had that game, but it was always scattered somewhere in some corner in their basement and no one ever played it.
I liked it.
It was like the lesser version of. It was Ants in the Pants.
Bed Bugs.
Yeah,
Bed Bugs. Was Ants in the Pants the one where you drop the marbles on the toothpicks or whatever?
No, those long actual pair of pants. And
that's that one. Okay. Yeah. There's Barrel of Monkeys. But don't break the ice. You tap a. It was like a Jenga kind of thing. Only a little different.
Horizontal.
Horizontal Jenga. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're doing the horizontal Jenga. I love it.
Oh yeah.
You nasty. Patreon. Patreon.com/NOTLP.
What a gentle euphemism.
I love it.
Doing the horizontal Jenga.
I love so it.
80s. Oh, we saw a Jenga power move recently. Was that on AFV where the lady runs up and pokes out of the giant tower Jenga? She runs up and just slams her two fingers into the tower and the block goes fucking firing out like a...
Does it hit a kid in the
balls? Clay pigeon.
No, that wasn't the point of the video, although that...
Did the tower stay together?
Yes, yeah. It was perfect.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I was the most badass thing I've ever seen. And ever. I've seen Saving Private Ryan several times.
Freddie's an expert.
So anyway.
Oh, Patreon. Yeah, patreon.com/NOTLP. No, Patreon. Yes, that's it. Topicana's there, and Andy says it's a doozy.
It's a good one.
Did I say Topicana? We do have a good. We had a good Topicana, but I meant Origins.
Oh, Origins.
The Origins is a doozy. And
it's a doozy. It's a dizzy.
It's a dunzy. Mm-hmm. The dunzies. We should make up for cancel culture awards. Yeah. We can give the dunzy to somebody we've canceled. Like, hey, welcome to this generation. You're dunzy. This is for you.
Unfortunately, he's not here to collect his award because he's in prison.
That'd be a great sketch.
The dunzies.
Let's yes. Anonymously submit it to SNL.
We can hold it at Chili's. Like
like the Dunder Mifflin. Mm-hmm.
The Dundies.
Oh, God. Have you guys seen Girls 5 Eva? Is that right? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
It's so fucking great. If you're a 30 Rock fan, it's basically, it could be just 30 Rock spinoff is what it feels like. It's, what's her name? Paula Pell, who I love and everything. But this is like a goddamn masterpiece.
It's on Peacock. We've watched a handful of the episodes.
I think 4 or 5. Yeah.
It's really fantastic. It's Tina Fey.
She plays Dolly Parton in it, or the hallucination of Dolly Parton.
Looks great. I saw you sent it.
Yeah. Oh,
so good. It I laughed really so fucking hard. What was it that made me think of it you were just talking about?
The size of his butt crack.
Oh, that was great. The guy who played the Beeper King and who's Mayhem in the Allstate ads or whatever.
Oh, that guy. I love that guy.
He's so great.
He was
great.
Really good in Oz.
Oh, he was on Oz?
He was.
So he makes this comment about... Well, you know, once you realize you're old and you get out of the hot tub and your butt crack's only an inch long.
The Vulture from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah, he's so great. Everybody on that show is great. It's the best jokes.
Is it, I found that 30 Rock looking back on it is a very mean show.
It's got heart, but it's also heart in the way that the last season of 30 Rock had heart. So if that wasn't enough heart for you, then this might be just too much to handle. And you're going to be like, they're too mean and I can't laugh at this. Yeah. But I'll tell you something. It's mostly coming from a pretty sweet place. Most of the jokes.
Okay. Well, as long as sort of poking fun at themselves and not other people, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's totally what it is.
I had the problem with like 30 Rock, and especially in perspective. Like it was very putting other people down.
Yeah, but it was so goddamn funny. It was almost worth it, wasn't it?
Certainly worth it to me. I would also like to recommend Suburgatory to everyone.
Oh, that's right.
If you like The Good Place and you like Schitt's Creek and you like shows that have some edge, but also like a lot of sweet heart.
If you like the good shit.
Suburgatory is an amazing show. It really should have gotten more seasons. Even though they feel like cartoons, they also feel incredibly real.
I think it was ahead of its time.
Yes. I think that was a show like Better Off Ted again. It's all kind of in the same universe almost.
Yeah. Better Off Ted was great.
It is. We're going to revisit those couple seasons too. It came out of the same, it's sweeter than Arrested Development, obviously. It really reminds me of shows now. Like again, very Schitt's Creek,
it's very absurdist, and as opposed to like where the more grounded humor that was popular back then.
There is a lot of groundedness to it though. The people are real and the world is cartoony, a little bit. And there are some cartoony aspects, but especially Jeremy Sisto's character feels like a real person that I have known. Like his, he is so great in this show. All of everyone is, the cast is like top notch. And they're all at their top. The writing is great. It's, I laugh out loud. And this is my second run through of it. Since it, you know, I watched it when it aired in like 2011, 2012. And then, I just laugh out loud. So
I didn't realize it was that kind of comedy.
It's unbelievable.
I love Jeremy Sisto.
He's this is like his, I feel like it's his best work. He, yeah, I agree. He's one of my favorite actors. And he's just so real and natural, and the characters all care about each other. Even the ones who seem like mean, like there's sort of like a group of mean girls, but even it's just really good. CW Seed, you can see it free with ads.
Let's do it.
Free with ads. It's like watching TV
in that old timey way, which I can't even believe I'm semi nostalgic for. But I'm like, I wish I could still watch TV on a certain night of the week with commercials.
I get it too, because it's shared experience, even if it's not. It's not like a present shared experience. You just know somebody else out there is watching it. And that's like, that feels good.
And you look forward to it. Well, I miss looking forward to a Sunday night for a specific show or a couple shows.
Yeah.
I do miss seeing new products.
Yeah, that too. That can be fun.
Well, we watch, you know, a lot of stuff on Hulu that we still have to see ads, even though we have the no ads. Yeah, so I get to see about all the new plaque psoriasis medications.
Well, I see a lot of car commercials and stuff like that. I want new grocery products.
You got to watch during the news in the morning.
I miss gum commercials.
Dirty mouth?
Yes. Okay, clean it up.
So gum.
Take a sniff.
You're going to see pull it out. More at primetime. You're going to see your like new household products, Andy. You're going to watch the news during the morning or the Today Show. And the news in the evening.
If you want to find a lawyer, make sure you watch in the middle of the day.
I never watch the middle of the day.
And low cost insurance in the middle of the day. True. Sam Waterston.
Right. Insurance is about the majority of what we get. A lot of USAA, a lot of farmers.
Yeah. I feel like they know that we're old.
Well, so I mean, they are collecting data about you, and they're combining that data with other data sources. So
God forbid you watch an episode of The Rifleman. Catheters.
But this isn't funny.
It's targeted because I've been watching a lot of Murder, She Wrote lately, so I'm going to get a lot of old ads.
Oh, yeah. They think you're, they think you're a 60-year-old shut-in.
Oh, man. Did you guys watch SNL from last night?
I'm trying to. Elon Musk just turns me off so much.
Funny.
Was he the host?
I feel very conflicted about him.
Elon Musk was the host?
Yeah. It's weird, right? You know what's funny, though, is like if I didn't know who he was in all the baggage and everything, it's a very funny episode. We haven't finished it yet, but there's a whole thing they do on Mayor of Easttown where they have, it's called...
It's just playing up how Philadelphia accent that Kate Winslet's doing. Yeah, in Mayor of Easttown.
She's getting all that press because of the accent, but it's, man, it nails so many little things.
I'm gonna watch Weekend Update, but I'll avoid.
Well, I watched Miley Cyrus too.
Miley Cyrus is great, and actually, Elon Musk is fine. I mean, I didn't know.
I'm barely how
is he?
Him.
Is he funny at least?
No, I mean he's terrible. But it's made it so you can be terrible and have bad line reading.
Here's the thing. A lot of what you're going to see on display is like, and I didn't know this until recently, but he has Asperger's syndrome, and it's almost like in and of itself, whether he, you know, I agree with anything else he does, it's just kind of encouraging to see somebody who has that kind of social, disability in a lot of ways. People would look at that as like a disability. I think to see him out there doing something like that's kind of cool regardless, but I get why people may boycott it, because I know human, you know, labor relations and all that stuff. I come from a family that was very pro-union, and that's the way I was raised, so I'm at odds with that too.
I just feel like it's he's not an entertainer. Like, it's just a weird choice to make, like, for a host. It's like, hey, we had Bill Gates.
They've had Bill Gates, though, haven't they?
Have they?
I don't know.
I think he's at least appeared on SNL, if not hosted it.
He may have. Oh, certainly, I can imagine. I can see him like wandering into a sketch, yeah, or you know,
they
something.
Had Lee Iacocca, I think, or when it, what was the guy who was running for president that was super rich?
Oh, Forbes.
Steve Forbes was on there. It's like kind of a tradition to have these people who aren't entertainers but are like kind of cultural like icons. Trump.
They're cultural icons, but they're not funny. Stop it.
Sometimes
Stop
it's funny.
Not funny people on, man.
Right. I would challenge you to say, like Amy says that he wasn't funny, but the truth of it is his delivery is so weird that every line they gave him, I was laughing. Not laughing at him necessarily, but they framed him in a way where I felt comfortable laughing at what he was doing.
How does he compare to athletes when they host?
Better. I think athletes and Robert De Niro, those are the worst things you can have host SNL.
Well, Robert De Niro don't give a fuck. That's why.
Yeah, which is fine.
But it's kind of, I like how you can tell his eye line is looking at the cue card. The cast members.
Well, that's the only way. That is the mark to me now of a really great host is when they don't, you can't catch them as much. Cause I feel like 80% of hosts are always looking, like they just look at the cue cards and don't even try not to look at the cue cards.
Yeah. Well, they're busy. Mostly they're these people who have these insane schedules too. So you kind of be like, well, of course they're reading everything off of a card.
But then you get an Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Who is just an absolute surprising delight.
Yeah. Or
a delight.
Ray Romano.
Romano.
That was and again, somebody who personally I probably wouldn't like, but Kelsey Grammer as a host. I feel like I have to qualify that I have shit feelings about people that I can't just say they're talented. I'm sick of doing that.
What's wrong with Kelsey Grammer? What did he do?
He was a Trump person, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard. Okay. That's what I've heard. I've heard that too.
Well, maybe
I don't think he,
I never heard
he
that.
He did Camille dirty, and you know what? I'm not her biggest fan on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Camille.
But she's kind of a monster, and she defended Brett Kavanaugh on the air. To do it in front of cameras, but you know, dirty.
I'm going to be okay with being entertained by assholes. Yeah. Like, I'm just gonna.
Same.
I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting that more out there. I don't know why I'm even qualifying shit. I'm a fucking adult. I like Kelsey Grammer's work as a performer. I'm not going to apologize for that. But I will tell you this. He was a great SNL host.
This I would tell you.
I laugh my ass off at a lot of dickheads over my life.
When did he last host? Like in the 90s?
That's how good it was.
You remember the episode that well?
I don't remember when it was, but it was a great episode. When he was the private detective who was so hungry he could eat a suit made out of burrito material.
Somebody whose memory is as bad as yours, I'm surprised you remember this stuff.
Well, I remember shit that entertained me, especially like it was very Leslie Nielsen-esque, the whole performance, and how he was just a great straight man. Like he could deliver the most absurd shit completely straight.
That's not a surprise. Like he's going to be good at like comedy and acting because he's a seasoned performer. He's been performing for like 50 million years.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But some people never get good at it. I could name names.
Tom Hanks is maybe my favorite SNL guest. Every time he's on, it's joy. Also, Justin Timberlake.
Oh yeah, he was really a good host.
It was always fun.
Just anytime either of them appear, mm-hmm, host or not, they do great work.
Oh, real quick, video game. Resident Evil Village came out Friday. I got to play a little bit of it yesterday, and it's super great. It's very scary.
It looks scary.
It is. It's like there's moments in there in the open. You're like in this beautiful house, and you're there with your wife and your baby. And part of it's you just taking the kid up to bed and you're, mm-hmm, and it's very spooky. It's a great way to set it up. I would never, you know, there's a lot of nuance in these horror games now that we didn't have back in the 90s.
It's like Hard Rain. Who's the comedian that talks about Hard Rain? It like describes playing it. Is it Pete Holmes? No.
No.
Hard Rain.
The video game.
It's somebody. Anyway, they talk about.
Is it Rory Scovel? No.
No. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Why am I drawing a blank on what Hard Rain is?
It's just some weird game where a serial killer kid like kills your first kid and then they kidnap your second kid and you like are just eating dinner and like your wife leaves you. It's just like this and it's all like happening in real time. The first level is just you having dinner with your family.
I had never heard of this.
God, is the dinner your first child?
No, that would only have plused it though.
Damn.
Oh. We're having pizza. And you think you're just eating Little Caesars because people, your wife just keeps screaming pizza, and you're like, yeah, Little Caesars.
You brought to mind Jerry Blank pizza.
Yeah, Fozzie actually posted a great graphic from what looked like Amy Sedaris's something. It's Jerry Blank, yeah. Kind of in the style of Little Caesars. And it says pizza. And I want it as a shirt.
It's one of my favorite moments from that show because it's such a childlike thing to say.
Yes.
But knowing that she's a monster.
Jerry loves pizza. She's also a child. That's what children are monsters.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm easily suggestible, but I'm ordering pizza.
He is. So.
And but Resident Evil Village is great. And the other reason I brought it up, besides just because it's a horror show, it has a multiplayer mode, I think is live already. It might not be called like Reverse, I think. So hopefully we can play with some of our patrons.
What do you get to roam around and kill zombies and shit together?
Yeah, there's werewolves in this one.
Fucking
lots of werewolves. But yeah, you like
it's lousy with werewolves.
I think it's like a person versus person. But anyways, like that's one of the Patreon benefits we do. We do meetups every Thursday night. And I've been thinking about, you know, we try to do stuff on the weekends too, sometimes like game together when we can. But I was thinking about doing like a night trap thing, if anybody is interested, where we can watch somebody play night trap together as a group. It could be fun. If you remember what night trap is, it was a Sega CD.
I'm not a 10-year-old boy. So
can't we get night trap? I'm sure there's a way to play a night trap emulator.
Well, we have night trap on the Switch and I can hook it up. And we can have a little group fun. So if anybody is, if that's
I love group fun.
Ooh, I like groups. So Freddie, you're gonna be our PewDiePie.
I'll probably have Amy. We started playing it the other night.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Anyway, somebody will control the Nintendo Switch. That's a responsibility I wouldn't put on anyone's shoulders.
All right. So but anyway,
anywho, I just want to put that bug in everyone's ear. Who doesn't love Night Trap? Dana Plato.
You're freezing.
Weird vampires.
Stop putting bugs in people's ears.
I want to put.
Bugs are coming. You can have plenty of bugs.
Oh boy. So, anything you guys want to add before we move into the other stuff?
No.
No.
All right, cool.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Of your community.
Thank you for choosing me.
I require discipline. Stick to your rank, never question an order.
Yes, matron.
I won't keep you if you don't fit. We have to move nearly all the patients out because of the cut tonight. You will stay on.
The dark shift.
Does the dark bother you?
A place people die in should never be allowed to get that dark.
I love working nights. It can get up to all sorts.
Bit of dark won't hurt ya. What is that smell? It's like it's burning. Are you scared of something? Who did that? Something chased me into the basement. When I looked, there was no one there.
Are you just making this up?
No, I'm not making it up.
A nurse must give of herself entirely. Sacrifice. How much are you willing to give?
Who is she? Gail. What does she want?
Val, now listen to me.
Angel sent by God to guide me. Be my light and walk beside me. Be my guardian and protect me.
Don't hurt me!
No!
Here comes a jump scare.
So.
Hello?
All right.
What a long trailer.
It was really long. Hold on to it.
Hold that trailer in your heart. It makes the movie look a lot better than it is. Man, was I disappointed.
I'm sorry.
Really disappointed. And early, because I knew what was going to happen with this movie. This has a great setup, a really kind of cool premise. This takes place in London in 1974 during the union strikes, when they had to black out certain parts of the city power-wise for certain periods of time overnight. And so this is happening at this hospital or infirmary, whatever you want to call it, where Val, who is our main character, is starting her first ever day. Val, we find out right in the first few minutes, was raised in an orphanage, a Catholic orphanage. This movie is just rife with the implication of molestation and sexual abuse. And it's like,
that's no fun.
It's going to make my review is going to make it sound like I wanted more blatant sexual molestation and abuse, but it's not that, but if it's so heavy handed with the implication, I sound like Dennis Reynolds. It's so heavy with the implication.
Did you watch this movie on a boat?
I couldn't refuse. Nothing was going to happen to me, but you know, because of the implication.
The implication. I feel like everybody has to say like that from now on. The implication.
Certainly, I'm not going to hurt these women.
God. You're not going to hurt these women, are you? Why would I? One of the best episodes ever.
It is. It's great.
Especially when Dee's dancing.
I want to start. It's Always Sunny cast, which I'm sure already exists.
Damn, what a horrible idea. It'd just be people doing the jokes over again.
Yeah, that is the show. Like, just us randomly mixing up It's Always Sunny jokes and doing them wrong.
Oh, I love it.
Who wouldn't want to hear that?
But then who is Amy's D? Who's Charlie? And why do I have to be Dennis? D? Because you're the lady.
Oh, that's...
You've been typecast, Amy. Yeah.
You're a misogynist.
God, Andy, I thought in 2021 beyond this. I'm Danny DeVito. Thank you. I just want the opportunity.
You can come out out of a couch naked.
I'm not sure you're Danny DeVito. I don't know.
I feel like Danny DeVito most of the day.
Aw. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why did you say aw?
Because that doesn't sound fun.
He's living his best life.
Danny DeVito. He's awesome.
He's got a toe knife.
I love Frank. Anyway, but I've been... So this movie is just... constant implications of all this abuse. The title is sort of a heavy-handed, real obvious play on the fact that so much of this is all about abuses of power and power imbalances. The movie is also called The Power, and there is a power, but then also there's all these power plays, and it looks really great. This was such a letdown for me because the score is good. The premise is good. The director of photography is great. And I don't want to take anything away from Corinna Faith, who is the writer director. I don't know anything about any of her other work. It's exciting to see a woman directing any movies, especially horror movies, but this was too much. Burn. It was so slow.
Yeah,
and nothing ever materializes.
It wasn't scary or what?
Really wasn't scary. I mean, it was like, so this Val is starting and she never becomes anything more than sort of this mousy, startled, hapless. She's not a character. Like, I think they want you because she's sympathetic. I think they thought that because if you make someone sympathetic, that automatically makes them a character. she's really just a face going, things happened to me. And you like see the memories of whatever happened to her in her face, but you're like, what is it?
Like, that's what it sounds like when Ozzy Osbourne like shuffles through his estate.
It's very much like Ozzy Osbourne. Think about Ozzy on the Osbournes 100 years ago. God, he must be 7,000 now. Yeah. And that was 1,000 years ago. So like, imagine Ozzy wandering on the treadmill and asking for burritos and all of that.
Because that's my burritos.
Yeah, for South Carolina is a burrito. You know, because ain't no more fucking villages anymore.
It's like a Catholic ghost movie.
Oh, also, no offense to the sometimes it was hard to understand.
There were some thick accents in there.
Did you watch accents.
It? No, from the trailer.
Oh, from the trailer.
Like the one woman, I was like, whoa, that's deeply... Is this Irish or Scottish?
It's English.
English. So it's a United... It's UK.
It's UK.
UK. It's okay.
But anyway, it's just
I might.
So you already, like, they just keep having all these knowing looks and like music cues every time they mention that she grew up in the orphanage. And then there's like a doctor and a little girl.
Like, it's a hard knock life. Oh, like slowed down.
Exactly like that. Yes. We got to get like a fucking Emiliana Torini to sing it, or a Dua Lipa or whatever. They just sing it real slow and with that weird Scandinavian lilt. Anyway. So
played on traditional instruments.
Hinting at all these things, like you get this hint about this doctor, like maybe is molesting this young girl who is, and there's sort of also an idea about like race and it's all about race, poverty, women, power. And these are great themes, but like you're never really pushed into any of it. It's just sort of, you're supposed to, I think, just sort of know. Like you see the way the doctor is with this young girl and you're like, oh, he's molesting her, but it never materializes. So you don't know. You just sort of think that's happening. There's so many things where you're like, I think this is happening, and it never really plays out. And then there's like this presence in the hospital that eventually starts shaking what's her nuts. There's an implied rape.
Shaking what's her nuts.
The
new album from Better Than Ezra.
It's like they listen again. I'm not asking for like graphic rape and sexual abuse and assault, but like they keep pushing you in this direction where like this is what's happening, and then never really kind of give you the thing to pay off what would make it scary. I'm never scared.
They will shake what's her nuts, but they won't really hurt what's her nuts.
Yeah, and she get one, and that's the thing. She's being possessed. That wasn't even clear to me.
You want
to
shake it, but don't break it.
Try not to break it.
Took her mom a 9 months.
I thought Elise was a ghost before when she popped out in the background. I almost screamed.
You're like, the power's there. It's mad that you don't think there was enough rape.
All right.
Anyway, so I assume that the power is like the spirit of a young girl who was treated badly. I just, there are these long,
hard muscles,
long shots of hallways, and they never build an ounce of tension. They do all the things. There's creaking doors, there's dark hallways,
there's shadows, so many shadows.
It's like when someone tries to bake a cake and then you just end up with something that looks like a litter box.
Yeah, it's
all the ingredients are in there. I don't know what happened.
It never comes together to tell a story. Like, there is a story, but it doesn't really give you anything. None of the characters feel real. The creepy security guard was actually the realest character to me. I mean, obviously I don't like him. He's creepy and gross, and he kind of tries to get What's-Her-Face to have sex with him in a gross way.
Is What's-Her-Nuts and What's-Her-Face two different people?
No, they're the same person.
Okay.
I can't remember what her nuts look like or her face.
What's-Her-Face nuts?
Freddie says, by the way, sweetie, he thought you were a ghost.
She's very much alive.
Terrifying.
I got the power.
Kelly can talk to ghosts. Oh my God, you have the power.
Spooky.
It just grabs her and shakes her all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This was a garbage movie. I'm sorry.
When you say it, when you're
saying garbage,
shakes what's her nuts. I pictured like this very cartoony Ren and Stimpy animation of someone shaking someone and then their nut. They pan down and their nuts hanging down there and jingling together like jingle bells, but clack like wooden ones clacking. Yeah.
And you can see the close up of the hair, the pubes and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like scraggly.
And pores.
Ugh. So. Let me retract what I just said. It is not a garbage movie. There are a lot of competent things about this movie. Again, the atmosphere is wonderful. Wasted, horribly wasted, but...
It just sounds like you were bored.
It was so boring. And again, it just... And predictable. Like, the themes were super predictable and then never happened. Like, I was waiting for, like, this scene, these scenes later where you found out who her abuser was from the orphanage. It's just like they really want you to just know that that stuff happens.
And so there's thematic, like, no story to back up the thematic elements. Just like...
Yeah, and you're never sure. You're not really sure.
They're like, life is just terrible. Life is pretty much awful. And
you should know that.
Yeah,
you should know if a doctor gives a knowing nod to a young girl that he's molesting her. Well, I assume so, I guess. But like, is he? I don't know. I never know.
I'm going to nod knowingly at all you guys and make you guys question. Oh, my God. Am I being molested?
I just wanted it. There was no I couldn't believe how zero tension there was. Like, I didn't care what jumped out and grabbed her.
So is there a payoff or anything like that?
Never. No, there's no payoff for me. It was so boring. It drained me.
Conspiracy theorist would be like,
no offense to Rose. I can't think of her last name. Who plays Val. Like, I wanted to like Val, but again, she's just shown as this, she wants to help. She's coming back to this area because she grew up poor and she thinks poverty is a disease. That's
she's
like
Jenny from the block.
Yeah. Well, she's still poor.
It's Garden, and, by the way, her last name is Garden.
Rose. Thank you. And it just, she never becomes a real person. Like, I get annoyed with her. I'm like, stop with the lip trembling and the big eyes and just fucking.
It's ironic because they fought to get her for that role. I remember, like, her agent, there was this
tape. Is that real?
This tape that leaked where they were like, you said that she would be here to work today. And he's like, I beg your pardon. I never promised you Rose Garden.
Oh, well, that was her manager's fault, not hers.
Yeah. It was a lot of fallout.
See, I knew he was doing a bit. I knew it from the moment.
I did too, but I wanted to give the benefit of the doubt.
You wanted to think I was real.
But her name is Garden. I thought it would be going somewhere better than that.
Well, that's the movie. He basically just gave you the movie in joke form.
This is a softcore cut. You get the better jokes when you go to the Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I can't recommend this movie. It's really boring. Not for a rainy day, not for a day where you're like, I want something new to watch. And I don't care if it's boring. I still won't recommend this to you. Watch a different boring movie.
Okay.
It's just not, it just didn't work. And you'll be disappointed by the things that do work.
There's this,
the score is so good. And you're just like, this should be so creepy right now. But there's just nothing here.
Damn shame.
She doesn't even get shook by the ghost for like the first half hour.
For a movie you don't care for so much. This is a pretty long review.
I'm visualizing this whole thing as like, there's this store and behind the counter is this movie. And Kelly came in to blow off steam about one thing with them. He's like, look, I ordered a 20-piece chicken nugget. I got a 5-piece. It's not the end of the world. I just want either my other 15 nuggets or my money back. And then he gets them and he starts to walk out and he stops. You hear the bell jingle as he opens the door.
The McDonald's bell.
He takes a big sigh. And then he turns around and goes, and there's just one more thing. I ordered you just noticed that his vanilla milkshake's chocolate. He just keeps coming back. He's like, you know, I love the nuggets here. I do. That's why I come. But this, you know, you did some things right here. This sweet sour sauce.
You did a great job with the sauce.
You got your ketchup packets. That's all that matters.
But
speaking of which, I went to Wendy's yesterday and they forgot my fries.
Oh,
son of a bitch.
All I had was a burger.
There's only two people work there now.
Yeah.
That's what we've learned. Because
it's true. And that They do everything.
And nobody wants that job, apparently.
Actually, there are only two people that work at the Wendy's by where I work.
That's what inspired my story is True Events.
And then I go through the drive-thru, and it's taking a really long time, but it's
also
busy.
That is the longest Wendy's line in the world. If you don't have a two-hour lunch, you better not get
Wendy's.
You're
like, oh, it's Wendy's. It's worth the wait.
But when I get up to the drive-thru, actually, I really do love their burgers.
I can't get Wendy's is like my go-to.
Yeah,
they got the best
burgers
out there.
Their burgers are better than Five Guys.
I like their spicy chicken sandwich.
All right, this is not why I started this conversation.
Fuck, I'm hungry.
But the reason why I did was that the one I went to the drive-thru speaker, and they're like, I'm sorry for your wait. There are only two of us working today.
You're going to say, I'm sorry for your loss.
And then I kept hearing her say it like over and over and over and over again as I progressed through, and I felt really bad. So anyway, Kelly does not recommend the power.
I don't recommend it. I'm sorry. I want to recommend it. But
what we're going to do. Wendy's by Amy's work.
I wouldn't. It's usually great. Corona did a number to it. What are you going
to
do?
A number to it.
Terrible is doing a number to a lot of fast food places. They're very short staffed right now.
Cannot hire.
So please be patient with the workers at fast food places.
Yeah, be patient with the workers that are there, but also pressure these companies to start paying people a living wage. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, In-N-Out. There's a shining example. They do right.
I have a Jack in the Box. Oh, do we know about the business practices of Jack in the Box restaurants?
Why don't you do right?
Oh, good question.
We're gonna pass.
Oh, that one just closed down because they were short staffed. Apparently,
the Jack in the Box. Our Jack in the Box.
Yeah, the one in Westchester.
Oh, really?
Oh, we have another one over in Oakland.
Yeah, there's the one over there.
Oh my God!
Oh, you have two. There's two Jacks in the Box.
Yeah, Ridge Road, baby.
Man, I wish we had In-N-Out
over here trying to get us done by a certain time because Kelly has to. Yes, this motherfucker who talked for an hour about this movie he hates. So anyway, let's pass the Jack in the Box. Around.
Oh God, yes. Let's get some Jack in the Box.
Right. So first up is Andy.
Oh, Andy, baby.
You know what?
What?
I didn't get my fries yesterday, and then I got jacked off.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good 2 days for me.
Let's Man, it's
they're coming to get you, Barbara.
The J.O. sisters?
The J.O. sisters.
That's a joke from Girls 5 Eva. Okay, your movie is on Amazon Prime, and it's called The Special. Suspecting his wife of infidelity, Jerry's best friend offers him The Special, a supernatural encounter in the back room of a brothel. But everything has a price, and Jerry's night of pleasure sets off a dark chain of events as he spirals into obsession. Because once you've had The Special, you can't go back to the ordinary.
Ooh. It's like that episode of Angel.
Spooky sexy times. Spooky
Today's sexy. Special.
Aw, Muffy.
Yeah, that was great. Today's
Love
special.
Today's special.
Me too. All right. You guys ready for the main attraction?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, boy.
Let's do that.
For your next vacation, we'd like to recommend an ocean voyage with a difference.
My vacation did not recommend for me at all.
The trip is unscheduled. The crew is unavailable. The entertainment is unbelievable. And the entire passage is unbearable. Because this is a death ship, and all those aboard are better off dead. Death ship, your holiday in hell.
Hi guys, how'd you enjoy your holiday in hell?
I loved it. I was super into this movie.
I thought it was really good too.
TV movie.
That trailer is throws you off because it looks so cheesy, but this is a pretty scary movie actually.
Yeah,
it's very effective. There are moments in it that are really unsettling.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That said,
and people got hurt on this movie, I assume.
Oh, yeah, sure, you're right.
Some of these stunts were you saw people get hurt real bad.
Yeah, it was bonkers.
It feel like I watched that Twilight Zone video over and over again from the movie, you know, that where the helicopter crashed.
Oh, that. Yeah. Well, you know, the trivia didn't say anything about injuries on set, but it does seem kind of like
it was probably before they were required to report them.
Yeah. They just leave those bodies in the ocean. But so you get this very Poseidon Adventure setup.
Mm-hmm. That's what Elise said.
Yeah. Didn't it remind, I mean, like the whole dining room scene of the captain's table. Except this captain is a real grumpy Gus.
He's a real grumpy. George Kennedy, love him.
Me too. And he's like, at first I'm kind of like, I love this character.
Do you think they offered this to Leslie Nielsen first?
Oh God, that would have been so phenomenal.
I'm busy making something else.
Well, it's funny, like, I feel he was kind of miscast in this because I never got a menacing vibe from him.
In this movie
vibe.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I did.
I did.
It was
too.
More of like a, oh, these kids.
But
more
then like later when he's, well, we should probably maybe set it up a little bit.
Yeah. No, he's too cuddly to be menacing.
I thought that in the beginning. I definitely got over that.
Oh yeah,
after
he was
that.
Snapping at all the seamen on board.
Yeah,
yeah, he was just snapping that.
He
semen.
Was so nasty to the seamen. The things he did to that seamen.
I thought he was going to be the hero, though.
At first, I thought maybe, yeah.
A redemption arc.
His co-pilot.
Richard Crenna.
His number two.
Big bad Richard Crenna.
Okay, first of all, you're not going to convince me that that wasn't Bryan Cranston at all.
Whoa.
Bryan Cranston.
He did kind of look like Bryan.
It looked so much like him. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they kind of look alike.
This was filmed in 1980. And
the second Bryan captain?
Beardy.
Yeah, that's Richard Crenna. You ever seen Leviathan or the other one?
Rainbow.
Which one is he in?
That's Bryan
First
Cranston.
Blood.
Yeah, First Blood.
Was he Beardy in that?
He was the colonel.
No beard, I don't think, in First Blood.
In one of them he had, maybe in the second one he had the beard. Or when he shows up later, maybe after John Rambo's lost his mind.
Well,
his beard may have sprouted then.
You're skipping over. None of this is necessarily important. But like George Kennedy is his last
go around
on this cruise ship because Richard Crenna and his wife and adorable children are going to take over after him. So he's like kind of pissed off that he's getting put out to pasture.
Yeah, it's a fun cruise ship.
Yeah, and he's not a person that enjoys whimsy.
I like
he's
that.
He's not retiring, by the way. I thought he was retiring, and you find out later they are replacing him.
Being put out to pasture.
Yeah.
Forced retirement, I guess.
But he's such an asshole to everybody. But they completely take care of him later and save his life over and over again, only for him to just get possessed by the evil German ship. I don't know what was really happening.
You know that scene where the kid apologizes to him for asking for his cake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And George Candy pinches his cheeks.
Yeah.
I felt he pinched that kid's cheeks really hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was also kind of
spite.
Like, in hindsight, like that's really kind of an eerie moment because he's just going through the motions and it's charming the first time. But then when you think about that in context of him later in the movie, he's barely hanging on. He kind of wants to kill all these passengers as is before he ever gets on the death ship.
Right. It's very much a Christine kind of thing. I feel like that captain, which you don't realize until he's on the death ship, but it's like something inside of him like woke up. It's like The Shining too. He gets to the death ship and it's like, oh, this is what we've been waiting for. This is our dude in this group of people. Yeah, he's going to be the one that's open.
Ghosts enter vulnerable people.
Yeah. Cause he's not good.
That's why I always keep a butt plug in.
You know,
spirits, I understand.
Mm-hmm. You know, the nice, beautiful cruise ship is being hunted down. Targeted, I would say, by the death ship.
It is targeted.
Yeah, because you do see it in the beginning, all like that piston footage that made me horny. That's our lunch. Not the dogs. They're barking at the person bringing it.
The piston footage. I think it was real funny.
There was that sex scene that was about to happen, and then they had the like pistons. That was awesome. Yeah.
I love how often the pistons were in and out. It was sexy.
The radar imaging that's what we had in 1980 and we had already been to the moon. That was terrible.
Yeah. You mean how they get a blur on there and they're like, and
it looks like a battleship piece
it
on the radar.
It rams them. It does hunt them down.
Yeah.
Like you think about it, like they're like, it's on a collision course And he had made them, he had just made them correct the course prior to that. So in a way you could almost look at that as foreshadowing that he was already under its influence.
Yeah.
Because they had, he was like, you're 2 degrees off course. Yeah. And then that put them back in the collision course where they couldn't correct it anymore.
Right. No, it's when think about it later. This is a really good movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that boat the only boat of survivors?
See, I don't know. It's the only boat we get to see.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think maybe it is.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. I just felt like...
sorry, that, Freddie decided to order pizza, and now it's here. Anyway.
God, he just planted the seed of pizza, and he was like, I really want pizza, so I'm going to get pizza.
No, I think actually they might have been the only survivors because they were out there waiting.
Yeah, they were up by themselves. Like you'd think that if there were more survivors, you'd see more people around.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But God, that ghost shit did his job, didn't it? It really killed all those people real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than the seamen. Christ. I think I don't understand why the one pizza place insists on knocking on the door and seeing my face before they will leave the fucking pizza, but go on.
I don't have a pizza place that does that. You should change places.
Where'd you guys get a pizza from?
Listeners, we got it from La Rosa's.
Okay. But that scene where the ghost ship rams the bowels of the ship of the cruise ship and you see the water rushing in, that looked real dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, it was funny because I was just watching this documentary on YouTube about lost media, and there's a movie called Noah's Ark or The Ark, filmed in the 20s or something.
Oh, wow.
And they had like a flood scene, and a couple of people died during that scene. And during the movie, you can see them struggling.
Ew.
Like,
dear creepy. God.
Because the water's rushing in, and it, like, they're really scared. And that's what it reminded me of, these actors, like really the water rushing in, and it didn't seem safe, just that set in general.
Well,
what did it remind? I missed the,
I mean, it added to the tension, which, the unsafe stunt scenes, I think it actually added to the movie, even though I was worried for the actors.
It was kind of like, you're right. It didn't feel like a set. It was very rusty. It was like a floating tetanus. Outbreak.
It's a great set, though. I love like the atmosphere it built.
Oh yeah.
The only problem I really had with this movie was some of the cinematography choices were
agreed,
like sloppy.
It was very in some ways that it did work for me, like some of those like very TV style tropes of filming. Like it looked a lot like an episode of Simon and Simon sometimes.
Yeah.
But like a really great fucking episode of Simon and
Simon.
Like
a Sweeps Month one. Like it was a two-parter where they went somewhere on location.
The Simons, they really fucking got into a ghost ship situation this week.
Well, that's the two-parter. The director who did this, like I think he did mostly television.
Simon and Simon.
And Simon and Simon. He probably did direct some Simon and Simon.
I'm sure there was a Murder, She Wrote in there.
So like actually that's a pretty great testament to the writing and the actors and everything else to kind of get above and beyond this sort of very by numbers sort of directing. And not that the director didn't do a great job, but I think that was probably the weakest part of the movie actually. And then everything else sort of rose above that. Although it did, because I've been talking about TV movies with Elise a lot. We've been talking about how old TV movies are great. So it inspired us then to finally pull up Gargoyles, and we started Gargoyles last night.
Gargoyles.
That's a good one. Like
that's a great one.
It's like the one that had the crazy good special effects for a TV movie, right?
If you haven't, watch Gargoyles, everybody.
Gargoyles.
Okay. Question for you.
Yeah. Question for you.
So when they do this little raft of survivors, which is everybody you've seen so far in the movie, gets to the death ship, it sort of reacts to them. One person it reacts to in particular is Saul Rubinek.
Immediately.
Is that because he's Jewish?
Yeah, I kind of think
the character says it at any point. But he does have like, a little New York accent, maybe.
It's like they kind of leave it up to your imagination. Yeah. But I had the same thought. I was like,
Amy, he was just just right. another victim.
The boat hate crimed him.
The boat is German. Everything in it is German. There's, you know, all the stuff in the bunks is in
potato
German.
Potato salad.
German potato salad.
Chocolate cake.
The shepherds.
Right. It's all Apfelküche. I try to bring occasionally some of the German I learned out. But anyway, and then it just kind of things start happening. I mean, it's clearly haunted. It's talking to George Kennedy.
It's clearly haunted. It's actually funny how little. Now, I will say sometimes some of the things like when they watch Saul Rubinek get pulled under and like Richard Crenshaw is like, just don't look. Like,
the only one that runs to help is the lady who you see her boobies later.
She was the coolest character in the movie.
Hotsy-totsy. Nobody helped at
great
all.
Butt.
She was hot. Yes,
the wife of the soon to be captain bothered me a lot. She was just so useless.
That perm was just fucking terrible.
Yeah,
it really held her back. I think it was the perm that kept her from being more useful.
Yeah. Right.
It was
so the tight. The kids were more useful.
Well, didn't you feel like she was like not in the plane of reality? She was, there's no acknowledgement of what really is happening.
No, she was watching like just on the edge of the, on the railing, just watching him drown. Like, oh
in that scene, you mean? I gotcha. I thought you meant overall, but yeah, well, everybody just fucking freezes up. The
there's
only
a lot
one
standing
who,
around,
no, but she doesn't hesitate like at all. Amusing.
Oh yeah, I see.
Yeah, but like the other chick, the Siemens girlfriend.
Mm.
She was a cool chick.
Nick's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Although I do think again, I didn't know anybody's name.
Why do I know his name is Nick, but I do
I call
not
all
know
the
her
actors by their actor names?
All I can call her is a lady whose boobies we see later, and that
we'll call her boobies.
My dear, is how the patriarchy gets.
Amy,
you.
Don't. I don't know that you're being hit by the, because I didn't remember Nick's name either.
I remembered his.
Nick
though.
Is played by Nick Mancuso.
Okay. So that helps him.
They made it real easy.
When they're yelling, hey, Nick.
They're like, Nick!
He doesn't get confused.
She was Lori. I mean, that's a pretty basic name. And despite having Tara Reid's eye makeup, she rose to the occasion in every respect.
Freddie has eye makeup opinions now.
I'm just saying she has Tara Reid's eye makeup.
No, but she was one of the most badass characters. Yes. Yeah. How did she died, right?
She got just tossed overboard
and
by
it,
George Kennedy.
Horrifying to me. That moment, yeah. I gasped.
That whole scene of her, that whole scene of her in the shower while blood is being showered upon her. It was really horrifying to watch, actually.
Yeah, it was very unsettling. I was like, oh, the movie decided to get R real quick.
Mm-hmm. And she is slamming around like, I mean, just, and it's protracted and it's drawn out, and she's just slamming around that panic, you know?
Shower stall as the blood's running down on her.
And then she eventually goes fetal position. I said, Amy, I was like, that would have been me the minute that I was trapped in there. I didn't need to thrash around. You know what I mean? Like, once she's thrashed around,
that
for
would
like,
have been a boring scene in
like
a movie. 10
minutes. Like, she thrashed around too long, though. I mean, like, she had too much drive. But it fits the character because earlier she bolts the minute Saul Rubinek gets hit with that trap. It's like she was expecting it, and she leaps into action and almost saves him in the long run, but doesn't. And she does the same thing again later. She's the first one, like that. And then, of course, when she's cornered, she's like, none of these fuckers are going to help me. I'm the only one who does shit.
No, she is. She's
so she's gonna thrash her ass off. Yeah.
Yeah.
and to kill your hero off like halfway through the movie, when I'm like, wait a minute, she's not the hero in the movie, it's Richard Crenna's character. I was like, I thought they were the background characters.
He had no charisma in this movie.
Well, he wasn't given much supposed to. He was very neutered in this movie. There's nothing for him to do.
He had to wear that creamy turtleneck sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't mention that. What happens is giant George Kennedy picks up poor Lori and chucks her into the fucking ocean.
Yeah, as like a he picks
she's
her
naked
up.
Naked and covered in blood.
Yeah, there's your hero. Somebody, I feel like there was something, some negotiation at some point where they're like, we need to shift the focus point of this movie from this character to this one
to a man. Yeah.
Well, you're not. I feel like they won't go that far and kill the dad of the dad of the kids, you know?
Yeah.
So what?
You have to keep the family together.
So there was also the old widow that was with them, and she eats something on board, and then
peppermints.
What a disappointment, right?
Fuck.
They're not even that good. If it was Reese cups, maybe.
Her whole, like, she becomes sort of melty and zombie-esque. And
although it's possible the boat influenced her to do that. So
true.
Yeah, it was like, look at these candy balls. They are the classic kind, but no wrappers. You're going to love them.
They're still good.
So what was it? Was it just, was there something on those candies? What was happening to her? They never explained.
They were 40 years old.
It was just cursed candy.
Yeah, they kind of prefaced that and set that up that you should be leery of eating anything on the boat.
Right.
Yeah. So like, it's not just that it's spoiled hard candy because my granny had tons of that.
Right.
Well, the way I saw it, it was like super old candy and it aged you because it was super old or something.
It was magic candy.
Yeah.
And then they find the teeth, the gold teeth.
Yeah, where they're torturing people.
And then
they realize that it was a German interrogation boat.
Yeah, and they have a like pit full of bodies, and there's bodies all underneath.
And I think that was a great scene when they discovered
mummified and old.
The scene where they discovered where the people were chained up.
Mm-hmm. All the bodies. That's where the movie really came alive.
It was chilling.
It was just horrifying to think because they were still chained up, but the bodies were just rotted away. So they died like that.
Yeah.
And then you saw them tied up in torture devices and just like your mind goes to places and it's like,
it's
awful to think about.
When they say it's an interrogation ship, I had this thought for a moment. I was like, do they really have like entire vessels dedicated to holding people prisoner and torturing and interrogating them? And the more I sat and thought about it, it's like that probably did exist because they take them out in the middle of the ocean. They can't escape.
Yeah.
You know, it's a horrifying idea.
And I mean, if they also pick people up from naval battles, you know, if there are American or allied survivors in the water, they can easily go around, pick them up.
And that's what a lot of these frozen bodies were, right? Because they had the life vests on. They were floaters.
Yeah.
That they picked up along the way.
Yeah. And I like how it was like, you know how the Nazis were into the occult and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is kind of an extension of that in a way.
That plays into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually borderline great.
It's a deep movie. It's a deeper movie than you think.
But it's not great. It's borderline great. It's just good.
It's really good. This is a movie I would watch again.
Yeah, I might.
But it's also now this, like in so many ways where things like you have a lot of things that hit you in a certain nostalgia place. This kind of movie is that way for me. 70s or late, all era of 70s TV movies and early 80s TV movies, I have a very unironic but nostalgic love for. And I find them very unsettling because I think those were a lot of my first forays into horror because I couldn't watch things like Friday the 13th.
Kind of have that same feeling about them too. There's just something about that they used to make stuff like this for broadcast television.
Yeah. And like it really, I mean, other than like they didn't even throw in any swearing or nudity till like almost the end. It could have been a TV movie for most of it. And again, just like Devil's Reign, I feel like a lot of people probably see that as super cheesy. I found that real scary and really good. But it also has that feel for me, you know?
Yeah. I feel you. I feel your feel.
What do we watch?
Next week? Is that what you're saying next week we're watching?
No, I said, what did we watch this one on?
We watched on Prime.
Death Ship on Prime.
Yeah, Amazon.
Okay. Yeah.
I just wanted to let everybody know in case they
had it. It's also on Tubi.
It's on YouTube too.
Tubi. It's on Tubi. Yeah. It's on YouTube.
And also, point out was an interesting choice to make that kid. His character, his whole character was like he needed to pee.
Yeah, he did. He was either peeing or drinking.
I thought that was the kid that played Chunk.
He almost looked a little bit like a young Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, I could see a little Bonaduce.
But that kid needed to pee at least 3 times in this movie.
Yeah, I sympathize with him. Yeah.
That was his whole thing. Yeah, he just peed.
It's his whole character arc that he needs to pee.
He's a wicked pisser.
Yes, for next week, Andy asked, and I shall tell you, Tim Lauschman was our winner.
Yeah.
Yay.
And he picked Triangle.
Oh, nice.
I love that movie.
He said 2009.
At least I think I love it. I haven't seen it since it came out.
I loved it when I watched it then.
Or is it the other lady?
No, I think it's Melissa George.
Okay.
So, yes.
I get them confused.
That's what we're going to do.
You know what? So do I.
And Andy's going to be reviewing that other movie we discussed. That's called The Special.
All right. In the interest of getting Kelly to band practice
Let's
on time.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna run through our Beelzebubs.
Run it.
I love you guys.
And thank you.
Oh, and if you wanted a chance to pick a main attraction, sign up for the mailing list. NOTLP.com. Scroll down till you see the Dracula stamp. Sign up there.
And it's for anybody, not just patrons.
Anyone wants to sign anybody. Up. And we'll randomly, you know, we pick
Hillary
somebody.
Hillary Clinton could pick one if she wanted to.
So, Elise Wallace of Nay Colbrink, formerly of New Jersey.
She's Elise
my beautiful wife.
Nay Wallace.
I met Nay Wallace. Amanda.
Yeah.
Ernie, much love to you. Mark Watts, we're going to play some games soon.
Happy belated birthday to Mark.
You just had a birthday,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right. Happy belated birthday. Tree and Alex.
Nice artwork from Alex posted up on Insta this week.
Oh, and also if you are a Beelzebub and you're only at the old version of Beelzebub, you're not getting merchandise. So they just recently switched up. So I'm going to try to figure out a way to get some stuff to you guys. Bill. Up in, where is he at nowadays?
I don't know. Hi, Bill.
He's in town. A town.
It was in New York. Blake. Jeremy and Cassie.
Hey.
Jeffel. I own a good one.
Hi.
I own a great one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's almost like we need to now, right? Brandon and Emily.
Oh,
I just want to, Brandon and Emily, they just recently lost one of their pets, so send them some love.
Oh, no. Which one?
Sorry about Joplin.
Okay. Oh, that's so sad.
We love you guys.
I didn't know. I haven't been on the social medias. That's so sad. Adam.
Hi.
Bill Chandler.
Billy boy.
Sorry, Adam, that you had to come after that bummer news where we're like, well, Adam, I guess. We love you all. Blaine.
Hi.
Monica.
Hello.
Alyssa. Brian. Dave TV. Yeah. Carla Gibson. And Dustin.
What? Yay.
Dustin taught us about these fucking sea creatures that are like giant. They're like a biological Voltrons that they don't get born all at once. They get born in pieces and then they come together.
Nobody gets born.
Nobody gets born all at once.
Nobody gets born.
All right. We love you.
I love
happy
you guys.
Happy Mother's Day.
You motherfuckers.
All you mothers. Week.
And all that jazz.
Happy week. Okay. Week.
All right,
bye.
Bye. Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy of life.